T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
To you, my fellow Texans and the Texas, welcome to this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show. Appreciate you joining us, and happy, as I've been want to say this week, although it's with a little bit of spring in my step and acknowledgement of what we're going through, happy coronavirus Saturday. I know it's a tough, interesting week we've had, boy howdy, with unemployment numbers going up, with restrictions being slapped on, and about 57% of us under quarantine and SIPing, as I've been referring to it, around the house with the family, sheltering in place. But welcome to this week's Texas Insider Show, folks. I'm Jim Cardle. We are here every Saturday afternoon from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, and carried on a station or two other places around the state. If you're joining us, we appreciate that after hours, and be sure and check us out at texasinsider.org, where we post about half dozen or a dozen articles every day for you to be on the inside of Texas and national politics. Check us out at Facebook and Twitter, or on Facebook and Twitter at Texas Insider as well, as we always like to say, and you've heard us say before, you're either an insider or you're not, so join the crowd there. And I tell you, second week in a row, we've had over 250, as I mentioned last week. I don't know about any of you who do something similar for a living, but gathering new friends and so forth on Facebook and Twitter and growing our email list is always something we strive to do, and had about 350 new Facebook followers last week. We're 263, I think, this week, as the coronavirus and the congressional activity and people staying at home. Some of you may have heard of this. The city of Austin and other cities around the nation are worried now because they are having to take on a new level of peak energy demand and peak electricity demand as everybody's staying home. Their previous projections for what electricity use is going to be is one thing when we're all downtown at the office or around the city working out of our office, but if we're spread out and all at our homes and have the air conditioning going, have all the lights on, and are tied into our vampire electricity sucking laptops or computers and whatnot, charging stations, it's a different thing. And that's kind of something that hadn't been anticipated. But be sure and go and check out texasinsider.org. We've got a link up there, the lead article, as a matter of fact, from our good friend Todd Hunter from down on the coastal bend in Corpus Christi. Todd gets us a regular article about once a week or every other week. And this week he's put it all together. You've got all the links you'll ever need for getting your business assistance, for getting your unemployment, filing handled, for getting your questions answered. You name it, he's put together all the links, and it's entitled, "Here's all your links for assistance or help to recover from the coronavirus." That's both on a personal and a business basis, as I said. But that and a number of other things we had up in Congress this week. Obviously, you probably heard about the president signing late yesterday afternoon, and the House and the Senate passed a coronavirus economic relief bill. We had a little drama starting with last week, literally as we were on the air last week, thinking that everything was going to proceed and we were going to have a nice little economic recovery plan handled. Nancy Pelosi is what Mitch McConnell in the Senate said, flew back into town and decided that she would, in fact, as politics, even myself in 35 years in politics, folks, this was an absolutely maddening thing to see. You've known that it's a part of the job, you've seen it numerous times, but never before have we seen it employed on any bill or in any legislative process like this one. And the process I'm talking about is compromise. You know, they used to say politics is the art of the compromise, certainly still true. If you can't stand the heat in the kitchen, get out. It's a big boy and big girl panties on and a contact sport, like everybody says. But John and Casey behind the glass, let's cue up Nancy Pelosi's little quote here from the other day.
So right now we have the legislation that will come to the floor tomorrow. I anticipate and feel certain that we will have a strong bipartisan vote. And we take some pride in the fact that, as I said earlier, in the House, we're able to flip this over from corporate trickle-down Republican version to bubble up worker first, families first.
Yeah, you know, it's really, you want to be careful and be respectful in this day and age of politics, but what she's saying there sounds good and sounds respectable, but the fact of the matter is, and in this day and age, we know that it's true because everybody gets caught doing what they say they're not doing. And in that instance, all she's doing is saying one thing, and she's saying the exact opposite of what she's doing, and doing the exact opposite of what she's saying. And that's what's driving the American public so nuts and so crazy in a situation like this. We're going to have our friend Steve Moore, nationally known economist and television commentator, talk about some of this. Steve, after the news at the bottom of the hour, but Steve will know and be able to talk about the politics, number one. And number two, the real potential and possibly the length of some of this economic fallout is just going to be kind of catastrophic. But he'll be able to tell us some things. If you go to the Texas Insider page right now, two articles up there. Democrats' efforts to potentially increase voter fraud have no place in the Corona bill. And this is a problem. We need to get ready. And this is why you're a Texas Insider, because coming down the road, even though it may seem like November's a long way off and we're only here toward the end of March, this is going to, and it was the most painful thing for me to see in this bill, states are going to need to be ready to help people vote without being concerned about getting sick, if that is still a factor then. But on the other hand, that doesn't mean that the Democrats should have been able to slip in things like a motor voter bill, where you have to register them immediately upon getting a driver's license, where you have to allow people to walk right up to the voting booth without identification or having registered as a citizen in the state before to vote. I'm going to talk about these and a couple other things. I, of course, got some positive news. And then we'll be joined by our friend Steve Moore from New York, from Washington, D.C., after this first break on the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. We'll be right back. good job there, John. A little Kenny Rogers coming back into the second half of this week's Texas Insider Show. A chance to remember old Kenny Rogers, who we lost last week, and kind of announced that or talked about it for a minute or two because it just had happened Friday night at 81 years old, a country music icon and somebody that's going to be truly missed, but we'll keep his life and memory going by playing a little song here every now and then on the Texas Insider Show. We appreciate you joining us, folks. I'm Jim Cardle. We're here every Saturday afternoon, as I usually say, high atop the worldwide headquarters of Talk 1370 over in West Austin. And John and Casey getting technology working these days and helping move things remote, as some of you are doing. I saw, John, did you see this week? I happened to be watching the nightly news on like KXAN and KVU and some of our local news stations, and they've got all their on-air talent reporting from home and doing the weather from home and doing the sports from home. It was something else, but that's just indicative of where we're going and something we're going to be talking about for a long time, folks. I mean, I've got to emphasize still how serious this coronavirus is, obviously, and number one. Number two, try and put a little emphasis on what's important in life. As I've said before here on the show, there's more to life than politics. That's certainly true. We had our friend Michael McCall on the show last weekend, and he said essentially the same thing, spending time with his family as a congressman from our local North Austin area over to Katy. But it's serious. You want to make the best, make lemonade when you got lemons, make hay while the sun shines. But I'm telling you, yesterday's numbers about unemployment coming out, I'm sure everybody's going to be seeing about that. So much for full unemployment. And it's just the shock of seeing literally within the period of a week, we've gone from full employment for the longest economic recovery in the history of the country to, in a span of about 10 days, being just dead in the water with 3.28 million American workers having filed for unemployment in the last week, as this is getting to impact our daily lives. And that is going to be a big, big issue, and was the primary reason for Congress doing something this week and the House finally getting it done yesterday, where aid is going to be coming into our bank accounts, coming into our mailboxes. If you filed your taxes in 2020 for 2019 year, you're probably going to be some of the first ones to get your checks. If you filed your taxes in 2019, they're going to be shoving it into your inbox, because this is an issue. Here's the point of all this that I want to make sure we understand. This is what's called a liquidity crisis. It's a cash flow crisis. It's not that your business is going to go under, hopefully. It's not that the people that you work for are going to close their business. We are just trying to get through, and Congress is trying to shove money to state governments in their unemployment offices, shove money to local banks that they can give interest-free loans to small businesses that are struggling. I've seen, and we're going to continue to see, that Austin Utility is not going to disconnect anybody. If you're late, everybody's granting some form of leniency and grace period, because we all understand. So just remember, it's what's called a liquidity crisis. How much cash flow? And that's what Donald Trump's talking about when he's saying we got to go get the company back to business. I saw something the other day that Target, this is in the Wall Street Journal Thursday, Target said that its sales have increased in certain areas like food and household goods. They've been surging. Same thing at Walmart. Same thing at Amazon. That's why you're hearing that these companies want to hire. If you're looking for a job, go to Walmart, Amazon, or Target, or some of these other businesses that are having to get things out the door in personal delivery or grocery stores at Costco and that type of thing, because their sales are going up at Target by record amounts. The only problem is it's going to hurt their profits because they don't make as much money on food as they do when you buy a fancy lamp out of their lamp department or when you buy clothes. So their profit margin is going to be smaller, which is okay. That's not the focus they wanted to be sure to make clear. But the amount of volume is their food and beverage volume at Target in the last 2 weeks is literally 50% higher than it was a year ago. Just imagine that. That's kind of indicative. So people are starting to figure out how to go to the grocery store, how to get through this. I saw another article this week talking about Wall Street. Here we had Wall Street in the last 2 weeks really take it on the chin. And for those of us who follow this type of stuff, you know, the stock market's been going up forever and record earnings and a record length of time for increases. And then in 3 days last week, it went from being a bull market when things are going up to being a bear market when things are going down in 2 days. And what defines a bear or bull market is being up or down 20%. So a week ago, we were talking about going from a positive to a negative market, from a bull market to a bear market, because the market had gone down more than 20%. Well, guess what happened this week? We had 2 days of positive upticks as investors and people like you and me who call our broker every now and then or trade in our little Acorn account, so to speak, or Ameritrade, whatever. It looked like things are going to keep being addressed and we're going to be able to turn the corner. So people are feeling positive. It went up 20%. So we had a 2 day bear market. Now we're back into a bull market. And insiders is my point on this. People who are known as corporate insiders, that's like corporate executives. And the people who, we heard this last week, some members of Congress got caught with their hand in the cookie jar because they were getting out of their stocks when they knew the severity of this coronavirus coming on. They started selling their stocks, and you can't use inside, quote unquote, inside information like that to profit from your position. But corporate insiders right now are buying back their own company stock at record rates. And what that means is they think there's going to be a turnaround and we're going to have some positive economic outlook as a result of what Congress has done, is what Greg Abbott's done, some of these other legislative officials. The city is going to make it easier for nonprofits to continue on to help some of the city's most needy. You're being able to pay your taxes not on April 15th, but now on July 15th. So be sure and check on the Texas Insider website. We're going to be putting all these questions and all this information up as best we can. Like I said, we've got one up there right now from State Rep Todd Hunter. Top article on the story. Here's all the links you need for getting your business or your family assistance to help recover in this coronavirus. I wanted to just also mention home appraisals. That's another one that I was trying to think. The Travis County Appraisal District, home appraisals are not even going to happen this year, you know. We always get focused on our appraisals and paying our county and our city taxes at the month of January, and there's a process to that we've talked about over the years. It's fairly complicated, but you pay your taxes in January for the last year, and then the appraisal districts get back into it, and they start going out and looking at all the economic activity and how businesses are needing to be adjusted for the value of their property and what they're writing off on their trucks or their hard equipment. And for us as homeowners, our values have been going up, and they can watch the sales prices and kind of gauge how much sales prices are going up. As a matter of fact, I saw something the other day that talked about how Austin is now, this was in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, and I'll close with this. Three metro areas in Texas had some of the biggest population gains over the last decade, according to the Census Bureau. Dallas increased by 1.2 million people, the most of any metro area, followed by Houston, which added 1.1 million, and Austin grew by more than 500,000 residents from 2010 to 2019. What that means is that Dallas and Houston both grew 19% in the last 10 years. Our fair city of Austin jumped 30%. That's a lot of people, folks. We got to take a commercial break and get to the news here at the bottom of the hour. After that, we'll be back with our friend Steve Moore to talk more about the coronavirus and the economic situation right here on the Texas Insider Show. Good job there, John and Casey, a little Los Lonely Boys, coming back in for the second half of this week's Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, high atop the Talk 1370 Right Choice Worldwide Headquarters. A little piece of heaven is what we're needing to focus on, and some good perspective there is there's more to life than politics. There's more to life than the economics that and the money in our bank. I know that's one thing to say and another thing to believe, but hope you're doing well and staying safe out there and SIPing, sheltering in place, as we've been saying. Be sure and check us out at texasinsider.org, where we post about a half dozen to a dozen articles keeping you on the inside of Texas national politics. And also at Facebook and Twitter, we got about 45,000 followers and growing. As we always say, you're either an insider or you're not. So be sure and check us out at Texas Insider on Facebook and Twitter. And as I mentioned there right before the break, before I say hello to our friend Steve Moore, who's good enough to join us this week, here was the Wall Street Journal just yesterday saying that Dallas has grown the most of any major metropolitan area last year. 1.2 million people is a 19% increase. Houston's number two, having grown 1.1 million residents over the last decade. That's also a 19% increase. And then here's little old Austin coming in with a 30% jump, and more than 500,000 residents moved into our fair neighborhood from 2010 to 2019. So we do have some things to talk about. And I saw the other day that Verizon and AT&T have both announced that they are having somewhere in the neighborhood of 800 million wireless calls a day this last week. 800 million, which is more than they usually get on Mother's Day, which is the number one volume phone calls day every year when we're all calling our moms. But to talk about this and more, particularly what's going on in Washington, I'm pleased to welcome and thanks a ton Steve Moore for joining us this week and giving us a call from the nation's capital. How's everything up in D.C. today, Steve Moore?
Hi, Jim. Good to be with you. Thanks very much for the nice introduction. And yeah, things are going okay. What's going on there in Texas with respect to the you know, what kind of lockdown are you under there? I'm actually in Maryland, where we have a pretty Stalinistic, dictate in terms of what you can and can't do. So what about there in Texas?
Well, I should mention that. I'm glad you mentioned that, because so far, just looking at the paper this morning, here in Travis County in Austin, we've got 160 people that have been, and be sure and check the Talk 1370 website on a daily basis. I know Casey and the team are doing a good job of keeping the latest numbers up there, but we got 160 people in Travis County that have been tested positive. 14 of them are hospitalized. Out of 254 counties, Steve, in the state of Texas, there are 254 counties. So far, there's reported cases in 105 of them. And that means the only parts really are out in the country. But all the 57, this is the other thing I will mention, 57% of the state's population of about 28 million and change is now under shelter in place orders. And yeah. Our economy shut down. And as I said in the first section before you join us, so much for full unemployment. But can you believe literally from one day being a bull stock market to the next 2 days, down 20% being a bear, and now we're back to a bull? It's something else.
Yeah, we've never seen anything like this volatility. Look, my take on this, Jim, is that, first of all, that $2 trillion bill, I hope everyone realized that was pretty much an abomination what happened there. I think it's just disgusting the way they're spending money. And you know, I don't have a problem helping people who need aid, you know, in short term, but we're giving people 4 months of 100% paycheck. You know, it's going to be hard to get people that have to work with that. In some areas, you know, Jim, people are going to get more money by staying off the job than going back on the job when the economy gets better. So, and look, my point is it doesn't matter how much, you know, the government money it prints. And as you know, the Fed is now printing trillions of dollars. It doesn't matter how many of these $1,000 checks the government sends out. If we don't have our economy functioning, we're not going to have, you know, we're not going to have anything to buy with all this money they're printing and handing out. So we got to get the economy up and running. Trump is absolutely right about that. We need to have some dates certain. I like this idea about, you know, starting after Easter, we start opening up things again. That's a very smart idea. Of course, we have to do it in ways to protect the public health. But, you know, Jim, we have a $20 trillion, you know, economic engine in this country that is the envy of the world. Texas, as you just, you know, mentioned with those statistics, is a big, big part of it. You can't shut down a $20 trillion engine for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 months and expect it to just turn the ignition key. So let's get things opened up in a smart way. We need screening. We need testing. Obviously, you can have social distancing in the workplace, but got to get America back up and running.
I wanted to ask, and again, folks, thanks to Steve Moore for joining us. Steve was a founding member of the Club for Growth back in the 90s. He's spent about 8 years writing for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. Steve, I've been meaning to congratulate you. Worth magazine listed Steve Moore as the 32nd most powerful person in global finance. So you are much in demand, and folks will have seen you on CNN and Fox and all the other talking head shows where you're a stellar and a rock star in keeping people involved. But I know I got an email in your in my inbox the other day. You and your friend Art Laffer had an article in the Wall Street Journal recently from your committee to unleash prosperity. And you're talking about how some of this money will flow. I think a lot of people are concerned about the liquidity nature of it. You're referring to it there. Can you tell us a little bit more? And it doesn't, I don't mean to put you on the spot because I know details are still coming out, but talk about how the individual citizens is going to be receiving money in their mailbox and how small businesses are going to have access through their local banks, which I think is a great idea, actually.
Yeah, I like the loans to the businesses. You know, I'm on the board of a small business that we had to lay off 30 people this week. That's a hard thing to do. But, you know, if you don't have customers and revenues, you can't, you know, keep people on the payroll. And so that's been really rough. That was a hard day. And I know a lot of other small business men and women listening to the show feel the same way. So you provide a bridge loan to these businesses because they didn't cause this. This was caused by a virus and the government forcing the economy shut down. And so that, I think, makes sense, and I think it's good. And you'll be able to go to your local bank and get the loan. And they have provisions that if you don't lay off your workers, you can have some of that loan forgiven. I think that's fine. I'm not a big fan of sending $1,000, $1,200 to every person. I don't really understand the logic of that. I mean, if that's a good thing, then why not send $10,000 every person? I mean, everyone knows, as Milton Friedman taught us, you and I, Jim, are devotees of Milton Friedman, but he
He taught us there ain't no, yep. no such thing as a free lunch, and there's no such thing as a free check. If government's going to send you $1,000, Jim, the only way they can get the $1,000 is to take it away from me, right? I mean, so it's just a zero-sum yep. game. I hope, but people will be getting those checks, and if you're a couple, I think you'll get as much as $2,500, and if you have a couple kids, it could be as much as $3,000. So, and then we're giving people the unemployment insurance benefits. But one of the things that surprised me, Jim, everybody in the media is calling this a stimulus bill. This is not. You don't stimulate the economy by redistributing income, and that's all this does. Now, again, I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just saying that's not a stimulus for the economy. The stimulus comes when we get the economy up and running again. And one of the things I favor and Laffer favors and my friend Steve Forbes favors is why don't we suspend the payroll tax for the rest of the year? And that would mean that every small business in America would reduce their payroll tax costs by about a 7.5%, so it would encourage more hiring, and then it would give every single worker in America, allow them to keep 7.5% of their more of their paycheck. So most people don't even realize that the FICA tax takes this money out of their paycheck even before they see the paycheck.
Yeah, I like what you're saying there. And again, just for some folks down here in Austin who may be Aggies or moved in from the left coast, we got to make it clear as day. What you're talking about is everybody gets their paycheck on a monthly basis or every other week, and they look there and they see all these taxes that have been withdrawn. Some yeah. of them could be, you know, if you're in the state of New York, you're having state income tax. We don't have that in Texas. Most of them are federal taxes, but you're talking about specifically the federal payroll tax is about 7.5%, right?
Yeah, 7.5% on the employer, 7.5% on the employee. And people, I bet there's some people listening to the show who are self-employed. Jim, they pay the whole 15%. That's a big, big, big tax. And you pay it on your first dollar of income. And I'd like to see why liberals would object to that, because it helps the lowest income people, because they, you know, if you make minimum wage, you have to pay this payroll tax. So I like that idea a lot. I want to get America back to work. I think that the, you know, we need to take obviously the most important safety measures that we can. And I worry because, you know, an hour I hear people say, oh, there's going to be 3 or 4 months of shutdown. That can't happen. I mean, you can't keep America down for 3 or 4 months. It just can't. We have to start. We need the testing. And by the way, one quick thing. We had a call yesterday with Fred Smith. You know Fred Smith. He's the CEO of FedEx, one
yes,
of
sir.
The great American companies. And he was saying, you know, they have, it was very interesting because he has something like 300,000 employees in the United States, one of the biggest private sector employers in the nation. And they're, you know, they're up and running. They're deemed by the government to be an essential business. And he said they have very few cases among their employees of coronavirus. That means maybe we can start getting people back to work and not have, you know, a big breakout, because obviously we want to keep people safe. You know, again, I feel strongly about this. This idea that we're going to keep, you know, the economy shut down for 10, 12 weeks, that just cannot happen.
Okay. Steve Moore, former Wall Street Journal editorialist, now over at the Heritage Foundation. He helped President Donald Trump and the White House get the tax cuts passed and devised a lot of the policy that was in the tax bill. Then we're thrilled to have you join us, Steve. We got to take a short commercial break, but when we come back to visit with Steve Moore from Washington, D.C., I want to get into, Steve, is this crisis and this virus situation possibly going to make Donald Trump stronger? We saw some good poll numbers this week, and we'll talk about that more when we come back from the short commercial break on the Texas Insider Show. We'll be right back. Good job there, John. A little Van Halen jump is what we're trying to do to this economy and keep it going and make sure it doesn't keep us in the doldrums for too long. We just can't allow that to happen. And welcome back to the final quarter of the Texas Insider Show, folks. I'm Jim Cardle. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, high atop the Talk 1370 Right Choice Worldwide headquarters. And I've got to just quickly recommend that you check us out at TexasInsider.org or follow us on Facebook and Twitter at just Texas Insider before I go back, because we're real fortunate and glad to have an old friend, Steve Moore, calling in. Steve, you helped way back in the 80s, even with some of the Reagan tax cuts. I know you were over at the House, the Joint Economic Committee in Congress. You helped President Trump design his Tax Cut and Job Act, which talking about Jump started and launched the strongest economic growth recovery pattern that this nation has ever seen. And you've got your committee to unleash American prosperity with Steve Forbes, former presidential candidate and publisher of Forbes magazine, and also the president's chief economic counsel, Larry Kudlow, is a partner in that. But before we get into some of the politics of whether or not Trump's doing a good job, tell us, I'm guessing you've talked to some folks in the White House or know what their pulse is over there. Give us a little inside scoop on how the White House is handling the emotional and the mental aspect holding up in all this.
Well, Jim, great to be with you. And by the way, I think you and I have been partners in crime now for what, at least 25 years. So we're getting old.
25 years, back when we were young men, yes.
Yeah, maybe going back to the 80s. So anyway, it's great to be with you, and you do a great job at Texas Insider. Look, this has been incredibly stressful for the people in the White House. You know, it's amazing how the world has changed. 4 weeks ago, we had one of the best employment reports ever, you know, with 350,000 jobs created with the provisions upward. We were growing at 3 to 3.5%. We had the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years. The wages were rising. I mean, it was the most beautiful picture. And now we've been clobbered by this virus. This is an act of nature, of course, but we have to make sure that an act of nature doesn't turn into, destruction by bad policies. You mentioned this earlier, the president has been handling this quite well. I'm going to give him maybe an A-minus grade. And he doesn't get enough credit. The most important thing that Donald Trump did, I want to make sure your listeners understand this because the media doesn't talk about this. Donald Trump probably saved tens, if not hundreds of thousands of American lives with a very controversial decision he made, 5 or 6 weeks ago? Remember, Jim,
yes,
when
he did
travel from China. And that was, gosh, the left went crazy. Remember, oh, my God, he's a xenophobe, and he doesn't want globalization, and he's, blah, blah, blah. And it turned out that was one of the smartest things that he could have done. Thank God he did that.
And it was against some of his counselor's advice, if I understand correctly.
Some of his advisors said don't do it, but he just has really good instincts. And then he cut off travel from Italy and some of these other countries, and that's saved many, many lives. So that's been important. Obviously, the next 8 weeks is really going to be, he called himself a wartime president the other day in his press conference, and he is. He said, we're fighting an invisible enemy. And that was, I thought, really an appropriate way to put it. But he's got to step up. This is his Churchillian FDR Ronald Reagan moment. And so I think so far he's been doing well. You saw his approval rating, I think, hit 60% for the first time ever, because people appreciate that we got a businessman who knows what they're doing. So, yeah, it's stressful, though. I mean, this has got to be really tough for the president. I mean, you have to balance, the economic needs of the country and the public health issues. And I think so far people really like how he's handling it.
One of the articles we've got up on the Texas Insider homepage right now is entitled, Trump Earns Best Job Approval Numbers Ever in the Gallup Poll, with a massive increase amongst independents, actually. And what they're talking about is that he's got a positive differential with 49% of 1,020 participants in the Gallup poll approving of the job he did. This is just last week, and 49% approve, 45% disapprove, which is basically kind of the Democrat base. But then Gallup is what you referred to at 60% approval rating. And I'm just thinking, if you look back in history, it's like you said, it's people and voters are not going to blame an elected official for something that was beyond their control. What they are going to blame an elected official for is if they don't respond and they don't address it. And I've said forever, I know you would have said the same thing, like him or love him, Donald Trump is a pragmatist businessman who gets things done. He delegates, and he's been delegating all this decision-making process, which has been a huge part of helping waive all these regulations, get the drugs to market. Talk about some of that aspect about how government has been sped up and some of the impediments removed.
Great point. And by the way, just for food for thought, I agree with everything you just said. Can you imagine if we had Joe Biden as president right now? How much trouble we would be in?
So,
you know, I hear, by the way, here in Washington, Democrats are going to turn Texas blue this year, and I can't imagine that the people of Texas would vote against this great president. But you're right, the next 4 to 8 weeks are going to be critical to how he handles this and gets us through it. You know, the deregulation effort was huge in terms of the massive economic spike we've seen. The most important thing I mentioned earlier, getting the economy up and running as fast as we can. But then we want to have what's called a V-shaped recovery. This is, you've probably heard of, you know, people talk about the V-shaped recovery. That means, you know, you're going to get a steep decline. We may see a 10 or 15% decline in our GDP because of the shutdown. But then you just want to boom out it. Remember under Reagan in 83, 84, the economy was growing like 8%, and it was amazing. We need something like that. Under Obama, we had what's called an L-shaped recovery, right? We had, you know, a deep recession. And then because of the policies that Obama put in place didn't work very well, it was a very shallow recovery. We need to boom out of this, and that, I think, will be one of his central responsibilities. You do that by cutting taxes, reducing regulation, getting government off the backs of our businesses and our people. We need to – how about this? We need blanket – something you all in Texas can appreciate. A blanket – I want a blanket immunity for businesses from lawsuits for the rest of the year. Because you know the trial lawyers can't wait to sue businesses, oh, if somebody gets sick or something. Why not, Jim, have a blanket immunity for the rest of the year so we can get the American economy running against baseless lawsuits?
Love that idea. I hope you keep talking about it. And it raises a very good point, because you're right. There are going to be various entities. I'm thinking about all the George Soros and all the hedge fund managers that are probably making billions because they can make money while the market goes down. And you're right, the trial attorneys, the businesses are going to be under horrible, hadn't even thought about. Talk about, if you can, Steve Moore from up in Washington, D.C. We're normally sitting here doing the show, Steve, and looking at the television inside our studio, and you'll be on television. we'll be saying we should have had Jan, but in about the 5 minutes or less that we've got left, let's talk about this last week with Nancy Pelosi. A week ago, we were talking about having this bill ready to go in the Senate. Nancy Pelosi flies in. They put in try to put in parts of the Green New Deal, labor union benefits, where corporate boards are having to be dictated who can or can't be on their board. The Democrats, while we're talking about Donald Trump having a presidential moment and looking like a strong leader that the country can rally behind, on the other hand, you've had the Democrats, Joe Biden's virtually non-existent, but Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, they did not do themselves any favor, is my guess, with their behavior this week. What's your thought?
Oh, you know, that's such an important point. I mean, people are so disgusted with how she politicized this bill. And it's actually insane that it's taken. We should have had this bill passed 8-10 days ago, and it should have been signed into law, and people would start getting the relief they need, you know, right now, not waiting another week or two or three. I don't know how long it's going to take to get people the checks, but they need them now. And oh my gosh, I mean, the stuff they put money for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. This is supposed to be an aid bill to help people who need some immediate cash. And then they wanted to do the Green New Deal.
Yeah.
You know.
So they're not looking like they've done things in a best interest for the nation, are they?
Well, you know, remember Rahm Emanuel, who was you remember this, when he was the chief of staff for Obama during the 2000 when 2009, when Obama came in during the financial crisis. Remember what Emanuel said, that a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. And that's exactly the way that Nancy Pelosi behaves. And this bill, I mean, thank God for Mitch McConnell and the Republican leadership in the House, Steve Scalise and others. You cannot believe the junk that she wanted to put in this bill. With solar subsidies, and they wanted all these giveaways. They wanted bailouts for the union pension plans. I mean,
Steve, I've got to stop there and say thanks a bunch for joining us. We're out of time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.